brought to you by the Georgia Governor's Office of Highway Safety, reminding you to buckle up, Georgia.
It's been a lot of out-of-kilter type stuff this, you know, for the last couple weeks.
How tough is Class A Division II for someone who hasn't seen it so far this year?
I think it's really tough.
How have you been able to keep this staff together for so long?
Well, I threaten them pretty regularly.
Welcome to another round of the Football Fridays in Georgia podcast here at Georgia Public Broadcasting. Thanks for accessing us, large device or small. John here, Hannah there. And this one, it's always cool. And I know that he's going to hate it when I use this word.
Is it the L word?
Ledge.
Yeah.
Yeah. Saying legend and Alan Chadwick, I know that he's probably going to walk up to me on Friday night and go, why'd you say that? And he'll shake his head at me and he'll just kind of walk away.
Because he is. The theme is unbeatens this week.
Yes.
And obviously we are talking to a legend, Marist head coach Alan Chadwick.
Yeah.
Eagles are 6-0.
Yeah.
So could be another legendary season. You never know.
Well, and Alan, at this rate, if my math is right, I think that we were projecting in his time, 39 or 40 seasons or however many he's had head coaching at Marist, they have only had a non-double digit win season 10 of the 39 or 40 years that Alan Chadwick has been a head coach.
Unreal.
So with what he has done, he started off as an assistant under Dean Hargis, and then he took over as head coach. We get into that a little bit. But the math is
starting in 1985.
So
is when his first year as head coach was,
he will surpass Larry Campbell for the all-time winningest head coach in the state of Georgia in history of high school football in 2028.
I wonder if he will still.
Well, the thing is, if you ask him,
you know, these kids can wear you down.
Well, but it's really.
I've got two of them. We're almost three.
Well,
wearing me down.
Well, but the thing is that you and your husband, John, get to coach those two for another 65 years. Mm-hmm. And so, I mean, with Alan, the thing about it, it's a really cool conversation where he kind of goes into how things are different for him and all of that right now. But yeah, 2028 season, I think, is the projection for him to surpass Larry Campbell for all-time winningest coach in the state of Georgia.
I hope he goes for it.
Yeah, because it's like literally, it's like, what else does he do? You ask him, he's like, I don't golf. I don't, you know, do these kinds of things. So he is a football coach, true and tried and true and all the way through and all those kinds of things. But it's really cool to catch up with Alan because he'll start talking, and by the time you're done, it's like a half hour has gone by. It was just a blink with Alan Chadwick this week.
I know. It's so good. Love hearing his voice. We haven't talked to him all season.
I know.
So it was about time.
Yes, exactly.
We also catch up with the 6-0 Irwin County Indians. We have head coach Casey Soliday on. Good to catch up with him. They're having an outstanding season. The community is also recovering from Hurricane Helene, so he goes into that as well. We've really been thinking about those South Georgia folks a lot lately.
Yeah, beat Turner County last week, and so they are at the top of the ladder in Class A Division II. And so it's a fun conversation. And we also, before we get out of here, there was an executive committee meeting in Macon for the Georgia High School Association. When you've got 75 or 80 people in a room and there were things that they had to discuss, we'll give you the 411 on that. And we're also going to have the new executive director of the Georgia High School Association, Dr. Tim Scott, on with us next week to go into this a little bit more in depth. They talked about a lot of different things.
They're finalizing some things as well that we spoke about on the podcast last week.
Right.
So some things are coming more into fruition.
Yeah, so we will.
Dr. Scott will be back on to chat with us.
Yeah, so we will find out about all the fruitioning as things get to fruition. I guess the present participle is fruitioning.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll find out about that next week, but we'll give you the Cliff's Notes version of what happened with the executive committee meeting coming up toward the end of the show.
I've got the GHSF Daily up. There were some upset alerts.
Yeah, we
discuss this game later in the show and how it's not really an upset, but Worth County beat Thomasville 28-27.
Mm-hmm.
Harrison beat McEachern 28-12. Stevenson upset Cedar Grove 41-28. Shambly beat Lakeside Atlanta.
Yeah.
23-21, John. I guess we can talk about that one later.
I was going to save that one to the end of the show.
We can save that one.
Yeah, sure.
Elka beat Eagles Landing 14-7. That's the list on the daily. What other games pop out to you?
Well, I mean, we also have the how everybody did here with all of our stuff. But if you go through You've got Carrollton continuing to roll through in 6A. Buford was on our air. It was a tight game at the half against Collins Hill, and then they put the pedal down in the second half. 18 unanswered points in the third quarter. They go on to win that one by the final 34-7. North Gwinnett doubled Peachtree Ridge. 1-6A got into region play. Valdosta put up 56 on Camden County. The game with Colquitt and Lowndes went to the buzzer. You had a kicking Fitzgerald nail a game winner. The kicking Fitzgerald family of Moultrie, Colquitt County, the Fitzgeralds got a game winner. So that wasn't the only buzzer beater there, but there were a lot of buzzer beaters all across the board. And you also had a lot of postponements, too. So we got to get into that also at the end of the show.
All right.
A lot of makeup games that got to be made up. So that means we start our conversations with our coaches. First up, and I'm going to use the L word. He's a legend, and he's a cool dude. And we also mentioned one of his former quarterbacks, who's now the head coach of the L.A. Rams, who might be watching because it's his bye week after losing to the Packers. Sean McVay, former quarterback, now coach of the Rams for the Marist School in Allen Chadwick.
Hey, Coach Chadwick, thank you so much for joining us on the podcast today.
Hey, thank y'all. Appreciate y'all having me.
So I did the math, and it's your 39th season, but you said you lost track. So if you've lost track, we've all lost track. And what a strange season this has been. We've had crazy weather, the rain, the floods, just a wild season around Georgia. I know it's one of our strangest.
Right.
What has your 39th/40th/we-don't-know season been like so far for you?
Well, it's been a challenge, you know, large part due to the things you just mentioned, the weather, the cancellations, the, you know, cancel a Friday night game, play it Saturday afternoon at 11 a.m. in the morning. And then also we had two early bye weeks. We played our first game and had a bad bye week. Then we played our second game, then had another bye week. So, you know, in a way it was good. It gave us some time to really kind of develop and work on some, you know, on the entire scope of our team for that matter. But it gave us some time to get better and improve. And then we've had, interruptions, the heat with the heat-related issues in terms of moving practices back to late in the evening or even coming in at 6:30 in the morning on a Wednesday or a Thursday morning to have a practice so that you wouldn't be affected by the heat and or the possibilities of lightning delays in the afternoon. So it's been very strange, and I'm glad that October's finally gotten here and starting to cool down a little bit, and we hopefully can get on a, you know, regular schedule.
So then when you need advice to handle all of these different things, who do you have on your speed dial and who's on your email chain to sit there and bounce ideas off of about how to do these kinds of things when it comes to all of this stuff that you've
Coach
had to juggle?
I think Coach Chadwick is the email.
Yeah,
he is the response to everybody else.
Exactly.
So, Coach.
But I mean,
y'all don't understand. The only technology I know is email, okay? as witnessed by how much difficulty we had trying to get onto this Zoom here. But anyway, I call them my coaches. I mean, I've got the greatest staff in the world. Many of these guys have been with me for 25, 26, 27 years. They know what our kids are capable of doing. They know our program. They know our schedules. And so we bounce ideas off, and I really depend on them a great deal in terms of their input, their knowledge, their experience as well.
Your coaching staff is unique where it's built of mostly community coaches. How have you been able to keep this staff together for so long?
Well, I threaten them pretty regularly with a number of different things. I've known them so long, you know the history behind them. So you've got something to hold over. No, just kidding.
Blackmail. Blackmail is key to keeping the staff together.
Longevity equals blackmail.
they're Marist people through and through. Most of them have come through and played in our program. They've had kids in our program. They've got current players in our program. They're teachers and or community coaches that have had kids in the program, and they've come through the program themselves. So it's just a family affair. And it's really a unique setting that we have. And certainly I always contribute that as to one of the biggest strengths of our program is the continuity of our coaches, the experience, the number of years that they've been in this particular system with us. And I coached a good many of them. They're like brothers to me. Like I say, it's just a really, really unique, unique opportunity for all of us.
How much have you changed as a coach over time? Because, I mean, I remember going all the way back to where you had that 7-foot staff and you had to make sure that you could drop that staff in between the ankle of the quarterback and the pointed stance of the A-back to make sure that spacing was exactly 2 1/3 yards for handoff when it came to doing the veer and all that kind of stuff. How much have you changed over time?
I'd say I've changed a pretty good bit. I'm not as uptight about every little thing these days because, you know, once you've been through the ringer so many times, it just becomes kind of natural. You kind of absorb some of those things and you understand that that's part of the day-to-day process of running a football team with 16 and 17-year-old kids. And it's just I feel like I'm a little bit more laid back in that respect. I joke around a little bit more with the kids. We try to have fun with them a little bit more. We're not as hardcore go, go, go all the time. But when it comes time to work, these kids respond real well. I still do have the pole or the staff, as you call it, the Moses staff. And I had to pull it out last week and use it because our fullbacks were getting off track in terms of their alignment and their distance from the quarterback. So I had to pull it out and double check them quite a bit through the week. And, get them back on the right alignment. And so, you know, some things change, but more things change, the more they stay the same at Marist.
Yeah, I was going to say some things change and some things don't. Well, when you've been coaching as long as you have, you get to see your players go on to the next level and have success. And we were talking before the podcast, DB Kyle Hamilton playing with the Baltimore Ravens, doing amazing. Do you get to keep up with players like that? Do they call you? Who else do you stay in touch with?
Well, I mean, I try to stay in touch with all the regulars. You know, we had a homecoming the other night. We had the inductions of Blue and Gold Circle, which is basically a Hall of Fame for our student athletes that have graduated and have been out of school for 10 years. So a good many of them came back for that, as well as the homecoming. We have just started a Long Blue Line football letterman's club. And it's not just football players. It's former managers, trainers, student trainers, coaches, anyone who's coaching the program at any level from 7th grade all the way up. And so we're just getting that kicked off. We just kicked it off about a week ago, and we had over 190 players sign up in the first week. And it's just something that we want to try to reach back out, stay connected with these former players and managers, let them know that we care about them, that we love them, that we're appreciative of them, that we want them to continue to stay involved with Marist football and be a part of it. There's been so many kids, and they come by from time to time, but usually in the spring and the winter when they have some time off, and then occasionally in the summer. But, you know, a lot of them are coaches for me now. So, you know, that's a way to stay connected. And a lot of my coaches stay in touch with these former players probably a good bit more than I do, and because there's that special connection when they were a position player for a Pacific coach, you know, that type of thing. So, it's a unique thing. It's certainly a family atmosphere and a community, and we draw on strength from each other.
Coming up this week on Football Fridays, Marist and St. Pius, one loss between the two of you so far this season. Hannah and I also were doing some digging. Do you remember your first head coaching game against St. Pius?
Holy cow, that's a tough one. 1985, I would assume it is.
Correct, yes. Do you remember the result?
I think we won. I don't remember the score or anything like that.
You did win. It was at St. Pius, and it was 41-21.
Wow.
And it was, let's see, 3, 6, 8, 12, 16, 8, the first of 18 wins in a row against St. Pius before a loss in 2003. Then you won 4 in a row, and then you and Paul went back and forth a lot. I think you split like the last 10 or something like that.
Well, you just said the difference right there. The difference was when Paul Stannard came to St. Pius and they really start building the program and getting some good players and having great coaching and became so much more competitive. But they really struggled in those early years, trying to probably do some things offensively that they couldn't really do with their personnel. And we were pretty strong getting kicked off at that time. So, but it's complete switch from where it was in those early days. They're a very competitive program. They're extremely well coached. They don't try to do too much. What they do it very well. And that's a big concern. We got to try to slow them down. They come off the ball. They really flat back offensive linemen and come off the ball and get after you real hard. They execute well. They don't make mistakes on offense. They're not very sexy, you might say. They were just very basic and come at you and execute very well. So we feel like we got our hands full for certain.
Last question for you, Coach. You are 6-0 heading into this one, like John said, beating opponents by what it looks like to be an average of 40 points that you're putting up. Big offensive numbers there, but we always like to ask, we know you're big playmakers, but what about the kids that are overlooked when it comes to recruiting? Who's on your list for Make That Kid an Offer this week?
Well, we've got we don't get very many transfers mm-hmm. or move-ins. Particularly in the junior and senior classes. We never get a senior move-in, but we had a couple of junior move-ins this year. And one of them is Anton Haven. He transferred from Spalding High School, which is down close to Griffin. And his family got transferred. His dad got transferred. He works for Home Depot. It was going to happen several years ago when he was in the ninth grade. It didn't quite fell through. The transfer fell through at that particular time and really liked him. He's a good kid. He's a very, very solid student. He's already got an offer from Arkansas State, plays defensive tackle for us. He's about 6'3", 260 pounds. He's very powerful, very strong, really can disrupt an offensive line. And he's certainly somebody that we're really high on for the future as well. He's a junior. Trace Gaines is a senior running back, defensive back, free safety, return back, receiver. He does everything.
I was going to say, what doesn't he do, yeah. Coach?
He does it all. I mean, we had a play a couple of weeks ago. It was a punt. He was returning a punt. It was a shank punt off to the side over in front of our bench. And it was 20 yards upfield away from him. And I kind of gave up on the play, thinking the ball was just going to go dead. And I started walking down the sideline, and I almost got in the way of the official. He came zooming right past me. Almost ran me over, and then because here comes Trace, he comes and picks up the ball and returns it for another 20 yards down the sideline.
Wow!
he just saw an opportunity right there and went for it, but he comes up and makes plays for us, really good with the ball in hands, great ball skills, plays basketball as well. And, of course, you know, Jeff Hewitt is our defense coordinator. Mm-hmm. His son, Jack, is our quarterback. I'm going to tell you what. We've had some pretty good option quarterbacks in all the years I've been here. Rommel, Sean McVay.
I was going to say, McVay might have something to say about that, yeah.
Miles, well, he's on the other side of the country. He's probably not listening.
It's a bye week. He's taking a vacation.
Uh-oh, he might be listening to it. Miles Willis, you know, just a number of kids that have done a super job for us, but Jack is really special. I mean, he's got great quick feet in the hole. He dishes the ball extremely well. He handles the tough licks. He's a true competitor. He's already committed to play baseball at Wofford. And so as our team goes, it's how Jack Hewitt goes.
Well, Coach Chadwick, thank you so much for the time. Mm-hmm. It's always amazing hearing your voice and getting to catch up with you. And we can't wait to see you Friday.
I hope we have some good weather. Thank y'all so much for having me.
One top-ranked team down, the next one on the board. And for this one, we head to South Georgia and catch up with our friends in Osceola. Time to catch up with the team at the top of the rankings in Class A Division II, Casey Soliday in Irwin County.
Hey, Coach Soliday, thank you so much for being here on the podcast today.
Glad to be here.
We have a lot of football to talk about, but we have to mention off the top Hurricane Helene. How are you? How's your community? How is the cleanup going there in Osceola?
Well, the community was hit pretty good. You know, a lot of trees down, you know, a lot of houses hit and hurt and that kind of stuff. A lot of people without power. But I think the community did a really good job of getting people, our Irwin EMC and Georgia Power. I thought they did a really good job of getting stuff back going. For the most part, most people have power now and all that kind of thing. And luckily there was no, I don't know of any deaths or anything like that happened in there from this thing. And the communities around us, I know Lanier and Douglas and some of those, Jeff Davis over there, I know they got hit even harder than we did. So, you know, prayers to them, but we got hit pretty good, but we were blessed.
So when it comes to a season like this that has had the standard number of starts and stops because of thunderstorms and Mother Nature, and then adding Helene to all the mix and all this, how much of a challenge has it been for you and the staff and everybody there at Irwin County to navigate all of this to get to where you are right now in the season?
Well, it does change a lot of things. I mean, it gets you get into a flow, you get into a natural flow. Kids like rhythm. They like a schedule. And so that gets you off that thing. And, you know, so like last week, for example, we didn't have school. School was closed for the whole week, you know. Really on the beginning part of the week, I couldn't even get a hold of some kids because our cell service was so spotty and down and all that. So, you know, we was trying to get them up here. We wanted to practice if we could, but more just get them together, get them a meal, that kind of thing, and do that kind of stuff for them. And man, that Monday when we got them up here and got them together, just the kids, you could just tell they was happy to see their buddies, happy to be talking, happy to plug in their phone and get it charged because we had power up here. So all of them didn't, but we happened to have it here. So just things of that nature, you know, got them food, you know, all that kind of thing. So it was exciting to see them up here and getting together and all that. And, you know, practice was really a secondary thing at that point in time, you know, and as the week, we added more and more stuff to it as it went along. And it ended up being pretty good, but these, you know, we lost the game with Clinch because of weather. So we was out again. And we tried to do that one on a Wednesday. And that all got messed up. So it's been a lot of out of kilter type stuff this, you know, for the last couple of weeks.
So the GHSA 2 has pushed back playoffs because of the disruption of Hurricane Helene. So I guess that helps you guys. You get to make up that game. Do you have it scheduled, or what does your schedule look like going forward now?
Yeah. So we happen to have the same open week.
Okay. Oh, great.
So we went ahead and scheduled it. I think it's the 18th. We went ahead and scheduled it to play on the 18th. So by them doing that, we kind of lost an open week, but we kind of gained an open week by them doing that. So, you know, if nothing else crazy happens, I know there's a couple of them things forming out there.
I was about to say, we're not even going to say it.
No comment.
We're not even going to say it.
But, you know, there is a built-in another date in there for us. That's good.
Excellent.
So right now, 6-0, some polls have you top ranked in Class A D2. I know that you want to basically take the statement that I just said and wad it up and put it in the garbage and sit there and it's like, I don't want to hear any of that kind of stuff for about another 9 or 10 weeks. Where do you think you are right now as a team with all of the stuff that you've had to go through heading into this matchup with Charlton County coming up this week?
Well, I mean, I think we're in a pretty good place. Not real sure, you know, all the layoffs and starting and stopping and doing those kind of things. It has had a little bit of effect on us, but I like where we're at. Our kids have been handling it pretty good. You know, Charlton's a good football team. They're going to be a really solid football team. I do like that we're playing at home instead of going on the road. That'll definitely be a benefit for us and all that. But I feel pretty good where we're really at compared to some of the other top teams in our class. You know, not sure where we see. I feel like we've played a pretty good non-conference, you know, non-region schedule. I think it's been a pretty decent one. You know, so, and we're going into it pretty healthy, you know, and that kind of thing. So I kind of like where we're at. Obviously got room to grow and get better.
I mean, you know, averaging like 50 points on offense is an okay schedule. I'm just kidding. Good. You guys have done an outstanding. You got a couple awesome rushers and Shane Marshall and Jason Jackson. What's clicking on offense so well?
Really, our backs are really good. We got a couple backs that are really good. Our offensive line has been really solid from we got a couple sophomores that are starting at the tackle spot, the seniors in the middle at guard and center, and we have a senior tight end and another senior wing and another senior tight end that we use in there. So we got a lot of experience. And last year we had a lot of injuries. Downside for that. Upside was these guys that came back all had a lot of experience from that in there. So we're bringing back a lot of you know, a lot of experience for that part of it. And our line has been really good. And then Our quarterback has been doing a great job. We've been able to run him more this year than what we was able to do last year. So that's put added pressure on a lot of things for what defense has got to cover.
All right. So then last question for you, and thanks for hanging out as you always do here. So for someone who hasn't seen Class A Division II football, and there are folks probably north of the Nat line that might see it in a box score or something like that, how tough is Class A Division II for someone who hasn't seen it so far this year?
I think it's really tough. I think if you take a few of the teams, look at our schedule and some of the teams that we played, it's hard to compare teams and schedules and all that kind of stuff. But I think you look at the team up north from us up there, we beat them, but they've won ever since then. We beat Worth County. But Worth County just come off a big win with Thomasville. Mm-hmm. So when you start looking at those kind of things, and you look at the teams that Brooks has beat and Clinch has beat and things of that nature, there's some really good football teams in this class. I mean, it's not when you start looking at those top 7-8 teams that are in this group, a lot of people don't want to just schedule those guys. I can promise you that.
Yeah, it's like upsets are not surprising
when
it comes to
that. They're not really even upsets because of the depth of the class.
All right, Coach Soliday, thank you so much for taking the time out of your week to chat with us, and we can't wait to see what happens this Friday. We are thinking and praying for your community there.
All right, appreciate it. Thank you.
Now, full disclosure, you heard Coach Soliday refer to the team up north.
Can't even say the name.
No, he can't. And you can't wear the color.
No.
You can't wear purple in Irwin County at all.
Absolutely not.
And with the new high school there, with the Purple Hurricane mm-hmm. of Fitzgerald, mm-hmm. it's like Ohio State and Michigan. It's the team up north you're in Osceola. So it is Fitzgerald and it is Irwin County, and it's the team up north.
Love it.
And they're closer than they were before because of the new construction of the high school at Fitzgerald.
How close are they now?
Not quite 10 miles. It's probably more like six or seven, wow. But it's right up against the county line. So if you're, so James, go to the wide shot. So if you're literally like at the county line, so it's literally like one of these where you're like, we can see what's going on at your campus now. You couldn't quite do that in the past.
Thank you for that beautiful, necessary reenactment.
Of course it was. Literally, I think you can lob water balloons now from Fitzgerald High School into Irwin County if you saw fit.
If you're not watching on the video version, John just scooted back a bit and screamed at me.
I screamed into the microphone, yes. So there you go.
That's how close they are.
Is Fitzgerald, for those of us that are not in Osceola or in Irwin County. So what's on your mind?
Well, I guess we could just rip the Band-Aid off.
Oh, yeah. We got to talk about what everybody did last week. So here we go. All right. So
scary.
Darlington and Parkview apparently did not play because of weather. That's understandable. So Central Macon for King James. King James, he's like, yeah, go ahead and say it. But no, I cannot say it because Central Macon was supposed to be in Louisville taking on Jefferson County. The game was postponed due to weather, so no word on yet a makeup date to be announced. Commander Sandy's Decatur Bulldogs beat Shiloh. You already mentioned Lakeside and Chamblee. Thank you for
that. I know.
That.
I did not mean to spoil that. I was just going down the list.
No, she did.
I didn't even realize that Lakeside would be on the upset list.
She knew she was going to go
ahead. Since when is Lakeside being upset, though? Honestly, when did that start? When is that an upset?
When Lakeside and Decatur were planning for a region title. If things had gone through, Lakeside and Decatur were going to be on a collision course for a region title, which would have been something for the first time in a long time. And your friend, the head coach at Lakeside.
Yeah.
So, and then Lassiter, by the way. Lassiter.
That's horrible.
Lost to Sequoia. It was not the best of weeks for those of us
here. Did you say the score?
No, I did not because I figured you would.
We won't.
Is it 44-6 or something like that?
We won't. We'll
skip
right over that.
So that is how we did, and it was a lot of losses this week for everybody across the board. So what else is on your mind before we get out of here? Because we have to have our words of wisdom from Marky Mark.
Realize Marist versus St. Pius, the Region 5 4A showdown on GPB at 7:30. If you're still listening, you're going to miss me again on Friday. Nikki filled in last week. John's filling in this week. John's doing it all. He's going to do halftime. Yeah. He's going to interview the coaches. He's going to be sideline reporter. John's going to be everywhere. I have a wedding, another wedding. So a couple couple of our best friends have decided that Fridays was their day this fall to get married.
Sometimes
that's
so
a priority.
We got to get into this with the other side of
the
class.
We already have. We do this every year. I have weddings every year.
No. But just the idea of scheduling a wedding during football season.
But not everybody are football fanatics like we are, John.
You don't even have to be a football fanatic. You can be a football understandee.
It's not just the married couple. It's the people who are attending. So the people attending may be football fanatics. Everybody knows in the South.
Still going to go to the wedding.
You want a full house? Don't schedule a wedding during football
Jeremy's
season.
Jeremy's not getting married during football season.
No, I'm not. In May. For
getting
a
married
reason.
Next May?
Yes. So you don't schedule a wedding in football season on a Friday or Saturday.
This is what I'm saying.
I know.
There are plenty of other days.
This is what I'm saying. This is not difficult.
I know. Sorry.
You want full attendance?
I know you're going to miss
me. Want a smaller venue? You want not a full house?
That's the idea. It's cheaper. Today's economy, it's tough times out here.
That could very well be, which means it's time for Marky Mark and his
we need some financial wisdom.
We need words of wisdom from Marky Mark now. So you have gone from not stretching to stretching.
That doesn't help
you
me,
though. You have changed your tune on that. So what words of wisdom are you bringing in this week, Marky Mark?
All right, so we're going to still talk about stretching here. In a way, I'm going to be doing the ultimate stretching. I am going this Thursday, going to go see a hardcore punk show. Probably going to get thrown around a lot, get in the pit. You know, tons of stretching on there. Maybe get punched in the face. Who knows?
Wow.
That's all what it is. Yeah. John, this is a regular occurrence for me. It's fine. This is awesome. But it's going to be the ultimate stretch.
Wow.
Okay.
As long as it doesn't come across like in the old Addams Family TV series where they had like a rack in the basement and you just sit there and it's like you loosen your back up or something like that by going on the rack.
You described it pretty accurately there.
Well, but I mean, for me, the boss and I are going to a show on Thursday night followed by a show on Saturday night because it's a bye week. Well, I know. But it is not as, stretchy as it would be as Marky Mark's. We're going to go see Lake Street Dive on Thursday, and then we're going to go see ELO on Saturday night.
And we're all excited about ELO back here.
I mean, Jeff Lynn, they say it's the last tour. Jeff Lynn has said it's the last tour, and apparently they do like 20 songs. It's a very tight set, and he has gotten nothing but high marks for this, the last tour. Full disclosure, bit of a circular thing here. That was my first ever concert.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it was ELO at the Omni during the New World Record tour.
In like 1804?
You want to tell Jeff Lynn that was when the band started, was back in 1804, before War 1812 was when ELO started.
I'm talking about back
Jeff
in,
Lynn,
back in
I hope
day.
You're listening. All right, so
that's all we got, John.
Yeah.
Let's let the people still listening go.
We got the executive committee thing.
Oh, gosh.
Really quickly. Yeah, just really quickly. They were discussing the proposals for competitive balance and the math that Don Kaur, one of the associate directors, had brought forth that we were discussing here on the podcast. That was on the floor. Also, the idea of wearing soft caps during flag football. For the reduction of and keeping an eye out for possible head injuries and concussions and things like that. That was discussed. The idea of OTAs, workouts instead of spring scrimmages for smaller schools just to cut down on costs, things like that. And there were some other things in other sports, too. I believe golf tournaments, I think they were looking at to start earlier because when you get to fall back, then you're playing into darkness, and so things like that. But we'll have Dr. Tim Scott come on next week and break down.
And a possible new look at reclassification. Too.
Yes.
Yeah.
Math problems.
Yeah. And regions could look totally different coming up. So, yeah, Dr. Scott,
all
coming
of that.
To tell us about all of that.
Yes.
All right, John, wrap us up.
Yep. So for Hannah, for Commander Sandy, for me, for Marky Mark, for Ambassador Jeremy, for King James, and for everybody else here at the Football Fridays in Georgia podcast, thanks to Marist head coach legend Alan Chadwick and to head coach Casey Soliday for Irwin County for dropping by on this week's show. For everybody here at GPB, thanks for dropping by. Played safe, everybody. Remember, Friday, Marist and Pius, Football Friday, 7:30, and kick shortly thereafter. Played safe, everybody. Enjoy your game.
brought to you by the Georgia Governor's Office of Highway Safety, reminding you to buckle up, Georgia.